I guess this is the part of the sermon, the service, that we see how well it goes. We'll get you out by 10:15, I guarantee it. So, what do you want to be when you grow up? Most of us haven't had that question put to us for quite some time. It's usually a question that we address to small children. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a fireman. I want to be a cowboy. I want to be a pirate. As we grow a little older, we take that question a little more seriously, and we decide what it is that we want to be, and we go down that career path. But we continue to ask ourselves that question, not necessarily in those words. I don't think that any of us get up in the morning and say, well, here I am, however old I am, what do I want to be when I grow up? But we do ask ourselves, what can we do to do our job better? What can we do to fulfill our purpose in life a little bit better? If you're a doctor, maybe you need to take courses on the latest techniques of surgery. If you're an auto mechanic, maybe you need to study the latest technology that goes into cars. But there's always something that we need to do to improve our life. And we need to keep thinking, what is it that I want to be when I grow up? Not just in the worldly sense, but in the spiritual sense as well, because as we know, in this lifetime, we will never be completely spiritually mature. But we do need to keep asking ourselves the question, how do I want to be in my walk with Christ as I mature? Last week's sermon was the first part in 10 Habits of Highly Holy People, and today is the second part. And like Jay, I'm not going to go through and enumerate each and every one of them, because they all kind of work together. But we need to realize that as we read today's scripture, and we see what Paul is saying to the Colossians about what he is telling them the way that they should be, one of the things that we need to realize is he's not making suggestions to them. These are not suggestions. If you read this in the Greek, one of the things that is going to stand out to you is that Paul phrases this in the imperative. And the imperative is what we would call a command. And an even deeper meaning of the word imperative, of deeper definition, is that it is the imposition of one person's will upon another. And when we look at this, we need to realize it's not Paul making suggestions to us how we are to live and how we are to mature in Christ, but rather it is the will of God being told to us, this is the way you are to be. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Colossians, the third chapter, verse 12 through 17. Hear God's word. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that by virtue of your Holy Spirit, there would be something in this message this morning for each and every one of us. We pray that you would touch our lives, Lord, and you would see how we can be strengthened in our faith and in the witness that we give to the community around us. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was in high school, there was this one particular day when I had to give a speech before the assembled student body. And when I was introduced, I got up out of my seat and I walked to the podium and I put my notes down and everybody started to laugh. And I knew it couldn't be me. I hadn't said anything. So I just waited till things calmed down, and then I went on and I gave my speech, and as far as I was concerned, everything was great. And after the assembly, one of my friends came up to me and he said, "Wow, that was really good. Nobody expected that, especially from you." And I thought, "Oh no, what did I do?" And he said, "Yeah, everybody was laughing, even the principal." And I thought, "Uh-oh. Well, I'm glad that it went well, but I'd really like to know what I did." So finally, I broke down and I confessed to my friend that, you know, whatever I did, it wasn't on purpose. And this is what I had done. When I was introduced, I got up out of my seat and I walked to the podium and I put my notes down. And as I looked at my notes to see how it was that I was supposed to begin, I took my hands and into the microphone, I cracked my knuckles. He said it was great. He had never heard anybody crack their knuckles in stereo. My mother had told me that cracking your knuckles is a bad habit. Actually, what she had told me was, "Don't crack your knuckles or you'll never be able to play the piano." Well, the joke's on her because I don't crack my knuckles anymore and I still can't play the piano. But we all have habits, things that we do without thinking. Things that just come naturally to us. Some are good habits and some are bad habits. But we all have habits. It's just part of who we are. I would venture to say that there's probably a good number of you who came to church this morning and you don't remember whether you locked your front door or not. Don't get up and leave. But you're confident that you did. And as you drove to church this morning, you probably weren't all that conscious of what streets you were going down because you just knew the way to get here. And that's the way it is. We have habits, things that are ingrained in our lives. Some things have just come naturally to us, and other things we have actually worked at to have them become habits in our lives. These habits that we're looking at this morning, which are actually commands, which are actually the will of God that he wants us to do. Of these, the one that really stands out to me is the one that says that let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. That's not an easy thing to do because we just have these emotions that rage within us. We have situations that come up in our lives and sometimes we momentarily forget our faith, or just things that are going on within us. We don't always have that peace, but we need to have that peace. That peace, I think, is what is often referred to as surrendering our lives to Christ. When I look at the habits that are the commands that are given us, things like have compassion in your life, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and forgive grievances. There are two people from the Old Testament that come to mind. One is David, King David, a man of God who was also a man after God's own heart. The other person is Jonah, also a man of God, a prophet. But unlike David, Jonah was a man after his own heart. When we look at these two men, and you know, first of all, you have to be somewhat cautious when you use people from the Old Testament to illustrate points from the New Testament, because obviously they weren't Christians, so they wouldn't have the peace of Christ in their lives. But they did have God in their lives, and these were men who were moved by the Holy Spirit. These were men who acted at the command of God. And David had a rough life. We use him as an example for a lot of things, but David really had a rough life. And I think that's what makes him a good example, is that he was a very real person as he's portrayed in the scriptures. He's a man who loved God, but there was a lot of turmoil. He had a lot of catastrophe in his life. Just as you and I have things in our lives that don't go right, David had huge, huge catastrophes that took place in his life that were absolutely devastating and changed not only his lives, but the lives of the people around him. But nevertheless, he was a man of God, and he always turned to God. When things went bad, he knew to turn back to God. He had that relationship that all of us should be striving for. Jonah, on the other hand, he had a relationship with God, but that relationship was pretty much what he wanted it to be. He tried to dictate the way that God's relationship to him should be. When God told him to go to preach to the people in Nineveh, to preach repentance, Jonah's reaction was, "Not me, I don't want to do that." God said, "Well, you're going to." And Jonah said, "Well, you know what? I'm getting on a boat and taking a cruise. See you later." And he went on the boat, and a big storm came up. And his shipmates knew that there was somebody on that boat that had done something to offend a god. His shipmates were pagans, so they didn't necessarily worship God Yahweh. But they knew that there was something wrong with a god. And of course, there's only one god. And Jonah says, "You know what? It's me. Throw me overboard." That was not a noble gesture. Don't ever think that Jonah was sacrificing himself for the good of the other people on that boat. Because what he should have done was confessed. He should have said, "God Almighty, I have done wrong. I have put these people in peril of their lives. Please forgive me and make things right." But instead, he was very arrogant. And he said, "Throw me overboard. That'll take care of things." The pagans, by the way, had the good sense to actually go to God Yahweh and say, "You know what? This is what we think we should do with this guy. Forgive us." And they threw him overboard. Then you have this prayer of confession from Jonah. And he says, "You know what, God? You are great and you are mighty, and I am sorry. And I just forgive me." And so Jonah is forgiven, and he's back on dry land after being swallowed by that big fish. And God says, "Okay, now go to Nineveh." And Jonah is, "Do I have to?" God says, "Yeah." So he goes to Nineveh. He preaches salvation to the people, repentance to the people of Nineveh, and he's successful at it. And his reaction to it afterwards is, "God, kill me. What a waste of time that was. Kill me." Jonah had shown no compassion on his shipmates or the lost souls in Nineveh. He wasn't kind to anybody. He certainly wasn't gentle with them. He wasn't patient with them because he wanted nothing to do with them. And he was just a jerk. David, on the other hand, his life is quite different. David was told that he was going to be king. But there was already a king, Saul. And so David's attitude in this was, "Well, Saul is already king. He is the Lord's anointed. So I'm not going to do anything to force the issue. I'll have patience. I'll wait. I know what God has for me, and that's fine. I can wait." Saul wanted to kill David. David's reaction to that was, "I'm not going to do anything to Saul. I don't have an argument with Saul. It's in God's hands." David had the opportunity to kill David several times. He literally caught Saul with his pants down. And he didn't do anything about it. He just said, "The Lord's will be done." He was gentle. He showed compassion. And he had patience. usually, if you look at the way things were done in the Old Testament, and things are still done this way today, when you have an enemy, you obliterate them. You completely take them out of the picture. That wasn't the way that David looked at things. When Saul died, he took Saul's grandson and made him part of his household, fed him at the table. He ate with the family. David had an enemy that he defeated, and his wife, the wife of his enemy, her name was Abigail. She came to David, and she said, "Everything that my husband did to you, take it out on me." David had compassion on her, and when her husband passed away, he made her one of his wives. He looked for opportunities to love people. But on the other hand, David was a great sinner. We know that episode with Bathsheba, and don't forget Uriah, because he was sinned against in this also. And when it was called to his attention by the prophet Nathan, he didn't stand there and go, "Well, after all, you know, I am the king, and I have certain privileges that maybe some of the rest of the people don't have." No. He repented, and he repented with compassion. He repented from his heart. And it was because he repented from his heart that he knew that he could come back to God. In fact, that God had never left him. And he had another great tragedy in his life when his son Absalom died. And he grieved over Absalom. And Absalom was not a son that had necessarily been friendly to his father. But he grieved for his son. It was devastating to him. But he was willing to have compassion and humility. And he was willing to turn to the Lord in times of trouble. He was also very willing to be with the Lord in the good times too. One of the things that it said in our passage today is to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude. David was a great musician. He played the harp. As a matter of fact, when Saul would get mad, one of the things that would happen was David would play the harp in order to calm Saul down. Also in the Psalms, David wrote many psalms. In the Psalms, you will see David pours himself out in song where he's unhappy as well, and he's seeking the consolation of the Lord. Music is important. Music is important all through the Scriptures. And if you look at Jonah, there's no music in Jonah's life, not as it's portrayed in the Scripture. He's completely void of any music, of any joy. It's just not there. It's not his habit. So you have two people that I've gone through briefly, David and Jonah. Two people who act habitually in their relationship to God. David, who always turns to God. David, who is always thankful. David, who is always willing to listen to what God has to say. And not only listen to what God has to say, but to react upon it as well. Then you have Jonah. Jonah has his own habits. They're not the habits of God. They're not the things that God would have him to have in his life. Jonah wants to do things his own way. And it just doesn't work. It doesn't work for Jonah. But here's the thing, it works for God because God has his way anyway. And I suppose one of the things that you can take away from this, if you want to put it in these terms, is you might as well go along with God because it's going to be his way. But that's not really the way that God wants it. God wants us to do things willingly. God wants us to be thankful. Where it says in here, in the last words of verse 15, "and be thankful," that's actually one of the commands. That's not a suggestion to us. It's a command. We are to be thankful. We have a tendency to rebel when people give us a command. If somebody tells us, you know, it's like if you're having a bad day and somebody comes up to you and says, "Smile," your reaction is to make a fist. You don't want to smile. And when somebody tells you things like, Be thankful. And we're to be thankful continually. You know, that's just something that kind of goes against our nature. I mean, come on, people. This has been a bad day for me so far. Be thankful. Be thankful because, among other things, you can cast your burdens on the Lord. And that's a really great thing. So we need to have these habits that are given to us in the third chapter of Colossians. We need to have these habits that are laid out for us ingrained in our lives so that they're something that we always do, that they're just something that we do without thinking. They're something that are automatic to us. Last Friday when I got off work, I hurried down to one of my all-time most favorite restaurants in the whole wide world. And they must have seen me pull into the parking lot because as I went through the door, they were already ringing me up on the cash register. It's one of those places where I get the same thing every time I go there. It's a habit. It's what the people in that place know me by. What do the people in this world know you by? What are your habits that identify you as a Christian? You know, we make this big deal out of evangelism, and we should, that we have to go out and we have to talk to people and we have to proclaim the word of Jesus Christ and we have to, well, beat them over the head with the Bible if we have to. Sometimes that's necessary, but you know, the way to begin, the real way to begin, make Jesus Christ, make the peace of Christ a habit in your heart. Sing to the Lord a new song every day. That's scriptural. What it refers to actually is make up a song. Be joyful. Proclaim your love for Jesus in your heart. Do these things in a manner that other people will say it, will see it, and they'll say to you, I see the way you are. Why are you that way? And then you can say, well, the reason that I do this is because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and he has told me that this is the kind of life that he wants for me, and this is the kind of life that I have made a habit of living. When we go out today, this week, we need to ask ourselves, what do we want to be when we grow up spiritually? Do we want to be like Jonah? When God tells us something, and God is telling us something all the time, whether we want to listen to him or not, he's always talking to us. So when God talks to us and he tells us what he wants us to do, are we listening to him with an open heart? Are we listening to receive the message from him? Or are we like Jonah, who says, you know what, I want to do it my way. And the last thing that Jonah says to God is, kill me, I want to die. And God says, is that your right? Do you have the right to say that? And of course, Jonah doesn't. On the other hand, David, his last words are recorded for us in 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter. And it says, these are the last words of David. And you drop down to verse 5, and it says, is not my house right with God? Has he not made with me an everlasting covenant, arranged and secured in every part? Will he not bring fruition to my salvation? Those are the last words of David. And God did bring fruition to his salvation. God brought Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, fully man and fully God, Jesus Christ, fully man, sits on the throne of David. Jesus Christ, fully God, sits on the throne of heaven. Jesus knows the struggles that you go through to maintain these habits, to live out his commands. So be thankful to him that he knows this. Surrender to him. Give him your heart. Give him your heart so that others may see it, and hopefully, with the blessing of the Holy Spirit, others will want to have a heart like that also. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being active in our lives. We thank you that even when we want to deviate from the things that you want us to do, you still bring us back. We thank you that when we sin against you, you draw us nearer to you. And we thank you that when we struggle against you, you keep us firmly in your grasp. Remember each and every one of us, O Lord, and instill in us the desire to live the lives of a holy people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's